I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Ugh, another pointless video call where nothing gets done. I think you're on mute, David.
Sorry, what did I miss?
IT just approved Miro for the whole company.
Miro? That's the...
online whiteboard for team collaboration. We can make these long video meetings so much shorter with Miro boards. We can share ideas, feedback, and updates on them whenever. Actually see what we're talking about.
It's all online.
Miro will make our flexible work setup so much easier, with one virtual space for our brainstorms, projects, presentations.
Oh, that sounds kind of amazing. So I don't need to wake up for 6 a.m. calls with the London office anymore.
Now you're getting it.
Don't let time zones get in the way of your team working well together. See why 99% of the Fortune 100 trust Miro to get good work done from anywhere. Get your first three boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
I'm gonna lick you.
We have Gavin Newsom, who's doing a great job. We have Eric Garcetti, Hilda Solis, Kevin DeLeon, Wendy Carrillo, because it is a team effort.
Governor Cuomo has become a national leader, garnering the nickname America's Governor.
And a very, very special thank you to our governor, no other than Gavin Newsom, because it is this partnership with Joe Biden that makes this come to reality.
You spoke to National Guard troops today in a stirring speech that, if I wasn't listening carefully, I thought you were sending soldiers off to war.
How many licks does it take?
I'm going to get to Jimmy Gomez in a second.
A good question. Let's find out.
Hey, you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you.
Get your
hand off. It's time for your tongue bath.
Get your tongue off.
Rub a dub dub.
This is the second one today.
Yeah, well, it just happened to work that way. Earlier in the show, we brought out the tongue bath desk because a writer for Politico gave a tongue bath to George Gascon.
Oof.
If you don't know what we're talking about, the tongue bath desk is dedicated to those in the media who slobber.
They slobber, they're sycophants.
Softballs.
Sycophants, lackeys.
They knob slobber.
They knob slob. That's what they do. They knob slob.
And Taryn Luna with the El Segundo Times did some knob slobbering for Gavin Newsom. That's why we're back at the tongue bath. A quick update. In an hour, we're expecting to have a news conference. The Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer will lead, along with law enforcement officials. They have arrested two suspects in the 7-Eleven shootings, the horrible overnight shootings that occurred Monday morning, early morning hours of, ironically, 7-Eleven, July 11th. So I don't know if that played into this.
Well, maybe were they celebrating the 7-Eleven Slurpee giveaway?
Maybe they thought it would be funny. I don't know.
Who knows?
They would commit these horrible, because again, these were really nasty. They were just shooting. They were shooting customers. But nothing to do with robbing the store.
Feel good that at least Todd Spitzer is going to be prosecuting the Orange County crimes.
Right.
So we know that these guys will go to jail. Will go to prison. And stay in jail now.
Yeah. We had a guest on yesterday whose son, Jason Harrell, was one of those who was shot. He was shot at the Riverside 7-Eleven. We still have the GoFundMe link up on the website if you would like to contribute. But we'll bring you the news conference for as long as that makes sense at 5:05. We do have the Moist Line people. We do have somebody to put in Satan's Lake of Fire. So get the mob members coming. It's the Lifetime Achievement Award for hacking a dumpster. All in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, so now about this tongue bath. Taryn Luna? Governor Gavin Newsom said he's frustrated with Republicans and Democrats. He's tired of conservatives criticizing California and rolling back rights. And he's irked that his own national party isn't fighting harder in the culture war. Oh, my God. If they won't, he said he will. Oh. He pushed back on a recent TV ad in Florida. In an interview Monday and a speech in Washington Wednesday, as he accepted an education award on behalf of the state he governs.
Wait, we must stop here to remind you that big city schools were closed for 16 months because of him.
Oh, the achievement in California is pathetic in the public schools?
In complete violation.
How could somebody give this man, it's called an education innovation award.
Complete violation of everything that science said. But he had the schools closed anyway for 16 months. Boy, this reminds me. There was somebody who got a dopey award, I remember, years ago. Somebody in Sacramento got a John F. Kennedy Freedom Award for raising taxes. It was Schwarzenegger, remember? Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, so. You're right, for being brave in the face of opposition.
That's right. A John F. Kennedy Courage
profiles
Award.
Profiles and Courage. Yeah.
Yes, Profiles and Courage for raising taxes. Now you have Newsom getting an education award for closing the schools down for 16 months? This is too funny. It was like Barack Obama getting a Nobel Prize, Nobel Peace Prize, and he had taken office the week before. This is all bull crap. It really is.
I mean, part of this is because Biden is so pathetic that anybody can stand up now and get attention from these progressive media writers because, well, what the hell? Here's somebody that we can possibly look towards for, quote, anger and leadership.
They have nobody to knob slob on. They have nobody to oil up and grease up.
Education's under assault in the United States of America, Newsom said. Oh, my God. Has Taryn Luna seen the test scores and the latest stats from California's public schools?
You do know that in Florida, they opened up the schools very, very quickly that summer. The first year, 2020, they opened up the schools. You do know that Newsom kept the schools closed until the fall of 2021. This is what I'm saying. This is not a matter of opinion. This is just pure lies and propaganda. This is just making up an alternate reality that does not exist.
Well, what we have here, and we talked about this earlier in the show, are the issues that the elites care about. What did you describe them as? White woke women from the suburbs? Or
wealthy white woke women.
So, you know, he's standing up about abortion, about guns, about what books are read in school. When people living day to day are upset about gas prices, they're upset about their kids being stuck on Zoom for school instead of being in the classroom because that kills achievement.
Yep.
They're focused on the real issues.
Think about
this crowd should get a rude awakening in November, and I hope they do.
This
clown is supposed to be the next president because, he's more strident than Biden. He's out front. He's really standing up for the party. This is not a wing of the party you're going to hold on to for very long. You're losing people who don't care about these issues.
Think about the top five issues that you're going to vote on. Think about the five most important issues in the state of California. Then read this line out of his speech when he accepted the award. I had no idea, that 1,586 books have been banned in just the last 12 months in the United States of America. We've banned 42 children's books, books about Mandela, books about Cesar Chavez, books about Rosa Parks. I don't know anything about this issue.
No, the only one I know is that their parents complaining that there's books that are just too sexually provocative that are being introduced
right.
in some schools.
Yes.
Or complaints about the critical race theory stuff books.
Yeah. But this is not an issue that anybody's being affected by right now. It's not an issue anybody cares about. It's not an issue in anybody's day-to-day life. It's some weird progressive boutique issue. And of course, the LA Times uses that as a central piece. Notice we have the worst poverty in the country. We have the worst business climate in the country, the highest taxes in the country, the worst homeless situation in the country. We have the worst crime rates in years in San Francisco and Los Angeles. We have the worst road conditions in the country. But that's not mentioned here at all. It's Newsom babbling about some kind of book banning craze that he thinks is going on. I never even heard of this, let alone do I care.
Victor Davis Hanson summed this up nicely in a column this week, because these ads in Florida that Newsom ran was about California being America's true free state. Part of his campaign was that Florida somehow under Ron DeSantis was oppressing people's rights. And Hanson writes, well, with the most burdensome regulations and high tax rate, Newsom's California is arguably the most unfree state in the nation. In return for these steep costs, the state's public institutions, infrastructure, and services are among the country's worst. And of course, he starts with the horrible freeway system. Of course, we have incredibly high gas taxes. Then he talks about one-third of America's welfare recipients have come to California. A fifth of the resident population lives below the poverty line. Well over a quarter of the Golden State residents weren't even born in the U.S.
And half...
here it is. California public school test scores consistently fall among the bottom 10 states. That's not education innovation, is it?
Half the nation's homeless are in the state's major cities. Half. San Francisco has the highest per capita property crime rate in the state. So how do you have a California where the public school test scores are in the bottom 10 every year, and Newsom is getting, what's this again, an education award?
Education innovation.
Innovation.
It's something about preschool programs. It's really dumb.
So he's overseeing a system that's one of the worst in the nation, and yet he is lauded for education innovation.
Newsom has done nothing to remedy the state's soaring gas prices, terrible schools and infrastructure, or spiking crime. But he did virtue signal about giving illegal aliens millions of state dollars in COVID relief. Rather than develop California's rich gas and oil reserves, Newsom's promised strapped motorists that he would send them a one-time fuel gift. Right. It's
galling.
It's hard to even believe.
It's galling. And Newsom has a band of dutiful stenographers who write down everything that comes out of his mouth and puts it in the most beautiful light, polishes up every turd that falls out of his face.
All right, when we come back, a little more on Newsom. He actually weighed in on the George Gascon recall effort. We'll get to that and more. Oh, yeah, next. Right away is your chance at money with the keyword.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, more noise from Governor Dippity-Doo Gavin Newsom when he was asked about the recall of George Gascon as L.A. County D.A. Right now, this.
Now, your chance to win $1,000.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website.
Green. That's green, G-R-E-E-N.
Enter it now at KFIAM640.com/cash.
Powered by Sweet James Accident Attorneys.
If you're hurt in an accident, winning is everything.
Call the winning attorneys at Sweet James.
800-500-5200.
That's 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
If you win, you'll get an email saying so. So check your junk or spam folder if it falls there. Listen to the KFI AM 640 for the winning keyword from 9 in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Next chance to win is next hour at 5:20.
Yes, and that'll be followed by the Moist Line. Right before that, we're going to pick up the news conference. We believe we'll start around 5 o'clock out of Orange County. The arrests of two suspects in the 7-Eleven shooting and robbery spree that occurred early Monday morning. Two dead, three wounded. We'll find out more. We had a chance last hour to speak to Todd Spitzer briefly, who did give us a little information, but we'll probably get more at 5:05. Well, we've been talking about Gavin Newsom, who made his big trip to Washington, D.C. Biden's not there, but maybe that was the plan. He did meet with Jill Biden. That's very important. He gets some Education Innovation Award, which is nonsense.
Education Innovation. Education Innovation. One of the worst school systems in the country, statewide, and he closed a lot of schools down for 16 months for no good reason. And he gets the Education Innovation Award. This goes down in history. This is just an all-timer.
But in this piece of audio you're about to hear, he finally got a hot potato he did not want to touch. We found this also in the case of the run for L.A. mayor. Karen Bass, who's the top candidate, the congresswoman, is basically taking no stance on the recall of George Gascon, but, and had her name wiped out from the Stand with Gascon website.
But no stance is a stance. It does mean...
Well, she said something, I don't believe in recalls, we can wait and vote them out, so she's kind of against it.
She's against it.
But she has not come out and vibrantly defended his policies.
You know what? The BS on these dodges. What side do you want? Go give me your esoteric asterisk. Well, I really don't believe any recalls. Recalls on the table. You with the people or you with Gascon? Where are you?
Yeah, I have to vote yes or no.
She's with Gascon. And so is Newsom. But listen to him wiggle around it.
All right, so this, and I guess this airs tonight, Alex Michelson talked to Newsom.
This
Alex
is
Michelson from Fox 11.
The issue is at 10:30.
All right, so we have this clip on Newsom and the Gascon thing.
Well, I have an aversion to recalls, as you know. And I'm not convinced that's the best Democratic approach to solving every problem.
But is he doing a good job?
I don't know enough about the job he's done. I'm deeply concerned about the criticism, and we have expressed ourselves very publicly along those lines, including in Los Angeles, as it relates to some of the issue happening with retail theft, some of the issue was happening on the railroad yards, and I've expressed my own issues privately as well, and I'll leave the more objective analysis of his job to locals that will have the opportunity to make that determination.
What a dance that was.
What a load of crap.
Well, let's analyze that dance, that sidestep.
First, Newsom launched Gascon's district attorney career. When Kamala Harris, of all people, became attorney general, she left the DA slot in San Francisco. Newsom was the mayor, and Newsom appointed George Gascon to his first term as San Francisco district attorney. And from there, he came to Los Angeles to ruin our county here in L.A. So Newsom gave birth to the concept of Gascon the prosecutor.
Nice.
And now he claims not to know. Hey, Gavin, how about those two cops that were shot dead in El Monte? You hear about that story? Do you get the news up there in Sacramento or Montana or wherever the hell else you've been hiding? By the way, does he spend any time here anymore? He doesn't know about the most reviled politician in Southern California now, George
Gascon.
Oh, he does.
He just does not want to. Yeah. See, nobody wants to get out in front for Gascon because they know that's got a big downside. But they don't want to support the recall because he's a fellow progressive reformer. So they do this dance where, I don't like recalls. You know that.
That's bull crap. Well, too bad.
Recalls. And I don't know enough about the specific. I'll leave that to the locals.
I don't care you don't like recalls. It's the law. We have every right to do it.
If I was Alex Michelson, my follow-up would have been, all right, let's talk about his directives. Do you believe that we should strip away sentencing enhancements? Do you believe we should not prosecute strikers when they have strikes on their record and they come up on another violation? I mean, let's ask the specific questions with what Gascon has done with his directives and see what dance Newsom does then.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
Do you think Gascon should resign after clearing the strikes on the guy who murdered the two police officers in El Monte?
Do you believe in no bail? Do you believe in just letting misdemeanor people go? Do you? I mean, let's go through the whole list of what Gascon has done as DA. Let's see what Newsom does then, because these are specific questions dealing with his directives. Let's see if he dances or he answers the question straight up, which he never does anyway. It's always a fog.
Yeah, I know. It's just gas and fog and he's cowardly too. If you're going to be for Gascon, say so and say why. Say it. Go ahead. You think you must think he has the right policies because you made him San Francisco DA. You did this. You are indirectly responsible for Gascon being here in L.A. You are indirectly responsible for those two cops who got murdered. Any other prosecutor in the history of Los Angeles County would not have given a break to the killer of those two cops. He's the only one who ever would have done that. You're the one who created his career.
All right, we got more coming up. Don't forget, after 5 o'clock or at 5, we'll join this news conference out of Orange County. The arrests of two suspects in those deadly 7-Eleven shootings. More coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, the big story this afternoon is the announcement of arrests of two suspects in the 7-Eleven robberies that included some shootings with two dead, three wounded. Orange County DA Todd Spitzer is out in front with this story. He will lead a news conference at around 5 o'clock that we will carry on KFI with some more information. We did talk to him last hour, and we tried to find out about priors on the two suspects, because we do believe, of course, that's always in the mix when we have this criminal justice system we have today.
Well, he suspects that these two may have been connected to, many other crimes.
Yeah, perhaps other burglaries that have been going on. And as I mentioned earlier, they were also thinking about some robberies that occurred in the North San Fernando Valley. They were not 7-Elevens, but they were other coffee businesses and sort of small convenience store type businesses. And it's possible that these people were... What also amazed us, and we didn't get much out of this from Todd, is it's two people. So we all know about the guy in the surveillance video.
There's an accomplice, he said.
But he says, yeah, but he's also kind of teetering on whether or not that case is going to continue against the accomplice or not. So we'll see. We'll find out more details.
By the way, I have the real hiccups, which is embarrassing.
Go ahead, Deborah Mark. Say boo.
Boo. Did that scare you?
I got a better one.
They went away.
Put a paper bag over his head.
Oh, that's a good idea. Eric, do you have an extra paper bag?
Do you have
an
exit bag?
How about a plastic bag? All right, let's just get rid of them for good.
Yeah, the thing they put the cleaning in.
All right, I think they're gone.
It has the big warning on it.
Oh, I think my boo scared your hiccups away.
I think so.
Let's wait. If the Listeria from the ice cream doesn't get them.
I was hoping I would get them for a whole hour. That would be real entertaining.
You ever read about those guys who have hiccups like a year?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
I used to be fascinated by those stories. I don't know why. When I was a kid, yeah. People who got hiccups and they never went away, like guy had them for 47 years or something like that.
And sometimes I find them painful, just the way they kind of just erupt right through your, deep down your throat.
Erupt? Like, you have erupting hiccups?
Yeah, they do. They're violent. There's something about them that's... All right, a couple of things. We do know now, we think we know now, what killed Ivana Trump. The medical examiner in New York has released a preliminary cause of death. She fell down the stairs. That's what they believe happened. She apparently has had some hip problems. She was very unsteady. John had mentioned there was a picture of her being walked around in New York City by an aide who was holding her arm. And they found her body next to a cup of spilled coffee. A personal aide and a cleaning lady came to the home Thursday and rang the bell, called her phone. No one answered, and that's when they called the building superintendent. He couldn't open the door because it's double locked from the inside. Finally, a maintenance worker was called to the scene, got the door open, and they found Ivana Trump at the floor of the stairs with a cup of coffee spilled next to her. They believe she suffered blunt impact injuries to her torso. I don't know if that would kill you, though, would it? Or they're ruling this an accident, obviously, and I don't know how many stairs this was.
Well, because they had said originally it was cardiac arrest, and maybe the fall caused some kind of damage that led to the cardiac arrest.
Yeah, I also wondered if she had cardiac arrest and then fell down the stairs, but they're making it sound like this, that the fall down the stairs is mostly what took her life. So,
well, you go down a long staircase with a bad hip.
Yes, and
that's
you would think if she had these problems, she would never be alone, even, you know, getting around the house.
That's what I was surprised. She seemed like somebody who would always have somebody, you know, within a few feet.
I wonder if the personal aide was just out on an errand.
Yeah, maybe.
And not there when she decided to come down the stairs. But
you know, when you get end up with bad knees and bad hips, it's like you got to get away from staircases. Because every step could be your last. Because
falls are very dangerous for older people.
Well, they become so unstable, you know, those joints. Another thing I heard a few weeks ago, and I'd never considered this, is sometimes the hip breaks and then you fall. Everyone talks as if, they fell and broke the hip.
The fall causes the bruise.
Right, yeah. Especially when you get older. And women suffer this more than men. Osteoporosis.
Right,
where your
right.
bone thins out, so it's susceptible to snapping. And
right.
then you end up falling.
I was at a restaurant. I shouldn't even say this. Well, I was at a restaurant this morning, and a guy came in, and I, you know how you just can't help staring? He was at a 90-degree angle. He was so bent over.
Oh,
I don't know
yeah.
how he could see. He was completely, his head was completely down right there at the waist. And he had a little tiny cane, and he was walking around the restaurant. I'm sorry, it was kind of
but
was comical
going.
And sad.
Yeah,
he kept going very slowly, kept going above. But how can he see? Because he can't lift his head up.
I know. I kind of admire those people though, because they won't stop. Even there was a woman who walked on my block years ago, and she would walk bent over. And
they're looking down at the ground.
I spoke to her once, and she stood upright.
Oh.
And it turns out she was capable of standing upright, but when she walked, she was bent at a right angle with her hands behind her back, and that's the way she would walk, with her head like pointed straight ahead.
All right, for a moment here, who's in the mood for, well, you take your pick, a word salad or a random word generator? We have a short clip from Kamala Harris, which is making the rounds. She was speaking, this is what she's down to now, transportation issues at the American Rescue Plan Workforce Development Summit. Whatever the hell that is. It's only like 12 seconds, but everybody marveled at it because she's on this kick now. She just repeats sort of herself.
Yeah, this seems to be something new. I don't remember her being this way when she was a senator. There's something about the last few months where she gets stuck in these loops and she starts repeating certain words or phrases over and over again.
Is it pot?
I don't know. Honestly, I wonder if she's got a brain glitch going on.
She's kind of young. I mean,
yeah, but things happen.
No, I don't go that far. Oh, that's the bar.
Right, play the clip. Play the clip.
Together, we are expanding access to transportation. Seems like maybe it's a small issue. It's a big issue. You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home.
Untangle that one. You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home.
You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home.
She's got kind of a rhythm to it. Give her that credit.
Big issue.
Yeah. Big issue.
Small issue. It's a big issue.
All right.
You know what, Eric? You got to put together like the whole menu of word salads. We got to run all of them together. Do you have
a whole buffet?
A whole buffet, yes.
A buffet.
Let's go
yes.
to the word salad buffet and just string them all together.
The word
next
salad
week.
Bar, and right? The whole salad bar, like Soup Plantation used to have.
I will have that ready for Monday.
Okay, all right. We'll look forward to that. I was reading a
because there's already like three this week, right?
Yeah,
at least.
There was, what was that word she kept repeating the other day?
Seriously.
Seriously, that was it, right.
There's a story in the National Review how she is losing another one of her top aides who's been around the longest.
Yes, the story was nobody wants to work for Kamala Harris.
Yeah, Rohini Kosoglu. And they go through a list of all the people who've left her just recently. Chief of Staff, Deputy Chief of Staff, National Security Advisor, the Chief Spokesperson, the Communications Chief. 13 people have left since last summer. 13 top officials, right?
And do you think it's her or just because it's kind of an incompetent, confusing place to work and she's a loser? Or do you think she's just tough on people? Do we know?
I think she's a miserable person and she's going down fast. And nobody wants that on that on the resume.
There's no future here,
there's
right.
no future. Because she's not going to be elected president. The only hope is that for her is that Biden, you know, takes the big dive.
Oh, I see. So she gets it by that.
Yeah,
means.
Yeah. But this writer here, Dan McLaughlin, says, frankly, if you've watched Harris speak in public over the past year and a half, it's hard to believe that she has speech writers and advisors. Or at least ones who do not hate her so much that they are deliberately sabotaging her.
All right.
10 clips? Seriously?
Yeah, all 10 right, clips in my folder.
That'll be a nice salad buffet.
Yes, we are all going to be filled.
We'll be at the Kamala Harris salad bar.
We will be full bellies.
And by the way, you probably know Biden went to Saudi Arabia to beg for more oil production. And of course, the media only cares about whether or not he asked about the dead journalists that Saudi Arabia killed. But
yeah. Ed, did you see the fist bump between Biden and
Prince Mohammed
bin Salman.
They call him MBS.
MBS, that's easier.
It's the crown prince. Right?
He did a fist bump. That's the photo in all the papers. He's calling this guy a terrible murderer for the last year, and he wants to turn Saudi Arabia into a pariah. And now we're begging for oil, so he's doing a fist bump. It's like,
and what we haven't even mentioned is September 11th, and those families are angry because they know Saudi Arabia was involved in that.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Oh, they definitely were. Some elements of their government was involved in that. All right, we got more coming up.
When you have oil, you can get away with everything. John and Ken Show, KFI.
All right, the 5 o'clock hour should begin with a news conference out of Orange County, led by the Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer. The arrests of two suspects in the 7-Eleven robberies and shootings that occurred early Monday morning. Todd was on our show last hour and thinks that these two could even be connected to more crimes. We'll bring you that. And again, it was a bit of a surprise that there were two people, supposedly some kind of accomplice, has also been picked up. And the arrests were made in L.A. We also learned that from Todd Spitzer. But I don't know. He's the lead prosecutor now at the moment, because obviously some of the 7-Elevens were robbed in Orange County. We'll get to that hopefully right at the beginning of the hour. Hopefully we'll squeeze it all in. The Moist Line, your chance at money for one more time this week. The keyword around 520. And we do have the mob members here, not just to throw a hack in the dumpster, but to actually throw them into Satan's Lake of Fire. The Lifetime Achievement Award. We're going to tell you how much money this person takes in taxes.
Yeah, we threw this person in the dumpster. And
that I remember
apparently
doing, yes.
Did not get the message.
No,
and
refuses to go away after 2.5 years.
But her, that salary?
Yeah,
benefits?
I sent you that. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. That's all right. Extra fuel for the fire on Satan's Lake of Fire.
There is so much next hour, because we're going to carry the Todd Spitzer press conference as soon as it starts around 5 o'clock. Two runs of the Moist Line. Satan's Lake of Fire. And this is a public servant who you know and most likely can't stand. And when you find out how much they're making, total compensation package, it's going to ruin your weekend.
Oh, well, is that going to draw an audience?
Yes. Get your weekend ruined about 5:35 or so.
Has there been any story more weird during this past week than the story of the 10-year-old Ohio girl who crossed state lines to Indiana to get an abortion after she was raped? And I say this for a number of reasons. Biden used it in a speech to rile people up about abortion restrictions, claiming that Ohio wouldn't allow this, so they had to take her to Indiana to have the abortion after she got raped. All right, so there was some doubt about the story, and we admit the story appears to be real. The story started when an abortion doctor spoke to an Indianapolis newspaper to tell this story. It took a couple of days. There was some doubt raised, even by the Washington Post, because it was one source, this abortion doctor. You have a right to doubt it when it's one source. But eventually, in a bit of a stunner, charges were announced against a 27-year-old man who turns out to be an illegal immigrant from Guatemala named Gerson Fuentes. He's been charged with the rape of the 10-year-old. All right, you following all this? Then there was a claim from the Indiana Attorney General that maybe this abortion doctor did not report this, as she has to do. But apparently she did. However, reports are now that she listed the rapist, or the father, as a minor, perhaps a 17-year-old, This man is 27. And then the latest weird twist to the story, the mother of the 10-year-old girl spoke to Telemundo and appears to be defending the rapist. So, by the way, he's confessed to this, so there's...
And she have, may have been 9 years old when
at
she was
at the time
raped.
Of the... Yeah. But the and, way the and, mother talks, she said this, and it was interpreted. She's my daughter, yes. She's fine. Everything, though, they're saying against him is a lie. So she hit her face. She spoke in Spanish, and she insisted she was not the one. Everything they say about him has been a lie. That's her quote, as interpreted from Spanish to English.
That means?
That he's not a rapist?
That the girl's not pregnant?
Was this a consensual relationship that the mother knew about?
Geez.
I don't know.
You know?
Could this be somebody she was with and also he was with the daughter? I don't know. This is all weird. That's why I said the story just gets stranger and stranger.
So this guy, what's the relationship between him and the mother here?
We don't know.
But she's defending him like...
She only spoke through the door, so I don't think she said much to Telemundo.
Is the translation correct?
It's another question. I can't tell you. I don't speak Spanish. I didn't watch the interview.
She's defending him as if, you know, somebody very important in her life.
Correct.
How old is she?
I don't know either. It doesn't say.
That's weird.
But the daughter's 10. She has to probably be close to 30. Or
the number of mothers who would defend the guy who raped their 10-year-old daughter, would that be a really small number?
Well, she said she didn't report it. But we learned the other day in Ohio that supposedly the mother is the one that reported it, but now she's claiming she did not report a rape. I don't know what...
Yeah, and the abortion was a medical abortion that they did in Indiana.
Yes.
Well, it was the... I guess the morning after pill.
Oh, is that what they did?
I don't know. I mean, when they say medical abortion, from what I've read lately, that seems to be the synonym for took drugs, and that the drugs is what caused the end of the pregnancy.
So the abortion doctor officially listed that the person that got the girl pregnant was a minor, around age 17, but he's 27. So that's another strange...
So she's trying to cover for him, obviously. Lied about the age, because if he's a minor, he'll get less jail time.
She's got a lawyer who insists she took every appropriate and proper action in accordance with the law, blah, blah, blah. So
did they take her in right away when she got raped? Because I remember the attorney general of Ohio, when he was scoffing that this was a real story, said, hey, there's no evidence in any police jurisdiction, you know, with a DNA record, a rape test kit.
No, because they're saying that the report wasn't made until June 22nd. She was already weeks pregnant then.
Yeah, that's a weird story.
And I think it was in the story how many weeks she was pregnant when she had the medical abortion.
The mother seems unhinged. If they got her quotes right and she really meant that, and that's really the truth, that she's trying to protect this guy, claiming it's a lie. I mean, if her daughter went to Indiana to get the abortion.
She was 6 weeks pregnant when she had the medical abortion on June 30th.
I didn't.
That's allegedly when it happened.
Every twist is just bizarre.
I know. So we'll keep an eye on that story, because I don't know what the relationship between the mother and this illegal alien who was arrested.
We always say wait 3 days. I think we got to wait 3 weeks.
Maybe. All right. We're expecting a news conference out of Orange County, led by Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer, on the arrest of two suspects in the 7-Eleven robbery and shootings.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.